traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Hey, late but never. Sorry about that, folks. We're finally getting here and getting online. We got everything all torn up here at the office here in Delray Beach. We're coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida, from Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village, Palm Beach Downs, and Delray Equestrian Center. We had a big hectic week here in South Florida. Just got over the Derby. We had several horses up in Churchill Downs running on Derby week. Could have been better, could have been worse. Had the favorite for the Derby, and he ran up the track. We don't know what happened to him. The Fierceness did not want a part of those 20-horse field. So was evaluated him, and he's getting ready to go. I don't know if he's going to go into Preakness or not, and probably wait till the Belmont. And speaking of the Belmont, that's going to be at Saratoga Racetrack the next 2 years, because they have torn down Belmont Park Racetrack and they're building a new one. So it's going to take them 2 years to get that completed. So once they get that done, then Belmont will be back at Belmont Park. But the ironic thing about it is the track at Saratoga is not big enough to handle the mile and a half Belmont Stakes. So they backed it down to a mile and a quarter. So that's really a changed training for a lot of horses, because the mile and a quarter is obtainable for the a lot of horses, and the mile and a half wasn't. So it's going to be interesting to see who and how many shows up for the Belmont at Saratoga. The Preakness is going to be coming up here next week, a week from tomorrow. And what's interesting about that is Bob Baffert's bringing his two horses in from California. And he's kind of laying and waited for that. He's going to have fresh horses in there. And there'll be a lot of fresh horses in the Preakness this year. I guarantee it's going to really make it a great Preakness day up there, because a lot of people have trained for the Preakness. And what's unusual and interesting about what we're doing here in the thoroughbred business is that you point for a certain spot, like say the Kentucky Derby, and you train all year long for it. And like we were talking about in previous shows, weather conditions, everything plays a part of it. And it was kind of funny that this year in the Kentucky Derby, Derby week, you had a lot of rain. Then Derby Day, kind of cleared up. And the track was actually in really good shape. There was no excuses, about the track not being good. So that was good. But all winter long, all the trainers that went through what they did through the weather and the rain and everything, and mixed it Dan that won the race, he had his share of bad weather all winter long, but he was ready to go, so he could handle just about anything there. And that was the interesting thing about that. But all in all, the Derby was really good this year. We had 20 horses in there. It was a variety of horses, had closers, had speed horses. You had just a little bit of everything in there. And it was good. Nobody could really complain about it. The finish was unbelievable. It was so close. It's one of the closest finishes that they've had in years. But Mystic Dan held in. And it reminds you of, Calvin Burrell that comes up the rail. The rail was really good, and it got another winner out of it. But that's, a lot of things in racing that's where they go. But now let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. We're going to get out FanDuel's breakout success at Kentucky Derby 24. It was amazing, the things that they had at Churchill on Derby week and the fans that they had. This was a double-digit year over the growth for the active account holders, a record for the Kentucky Derby and FanDuel people, the biggest day of racing ever for FanDuel Group, which we believe to outperform the market. So in other words, they took more money in on FanDuel than they did on the whole market there. Peak bets on Saturday were at Super Bowl levels. And the wagering platform performed without interruption, which is good because they've had several problems with that in the past, but they've corrected them now for the big day. More than 700,000 customers bet the Kentucky Derby with the FanDuel group. Last year, it was 500,000. They had 200,000 more people betting this year on the Derby than they did last year. And that says a lot for, you know, for the industry. People always love the horses, and they're going to do what they can to get to it. They estimated over 200,000 customers bet on the race for the first time in FanDuel Sportsbook history. So that says a lot for, you know, the industry, the equine industry. You got 200,000 people brand new coming to the industry, not only to see, you know, the horse racing or be a part of it or, you know, do what they do in the horse business, but, you know, they're betting for the first time, and that's really good, you know, for our sport. Derby Day was FanDuel's TV's biggest day in its active history, beating last year FanDuel records by 37%. So that, you know, that says a lot for the Derby in itself and everything, you know. So what can you do? Hey, let me get on that TV announce, and I'll straighten them out and get myself straightened out here. But no, in all honesty, it's a good economic indicator of what's going on in the horse business. And the reason that we're getting things like, you know, increases like that, because the product is actually getting better. And that's one thing that we're fighting all over the industry to make the product better, make it better for the public, you know, to come out and see the racing and the horse shows and go into the sales and everything. You know, that's what it's all about. And I'll give you a good example, and you'll see where I'm going with this. Churchill Downs just remodeled. They revamped the whole facility, and it's beautiful. It's probably one of the prettiest tracks that I've ever been to or seen here in the last 20 years. They're modernized and make it convenient for the fan to come in. Everybody can see, you know, you can get food and plenty of restaurants and restrooms and all. A lot of restaurants in there. It's really good. But the thing that I really like about the industry now is Churchill was kind of a leader in making everything fan friendly. That's one of the things that they've done, and did a lot of surveys and went in to see what they could do and made parking easier and made, you know, getting in and out of the place easier, just everything for them. And a lot of tracks have followed suit with that. Now, like Belmont Park, for instance, they shut down Belmont Park this year. They're replacing the turf track. They're replacing the dirt track. They're replacing the grandstands. They're going to make it a modern miracle for horse racing. The fans are going to love it. They're going to have a great infield, plenty of parking, easy to get into and get out of. You know, you can come into the track on the train. You know, you got plenty of ways to get in there, you know, from the airport. It's just fantastic what they're doing. And then at Saratoga, they really are not doing much to Saratoga because it was in the best shape ever that I've seen in 20 years. And so that's good. So, but they are moving the Belmont to Saratoga, because of the construction that they have at Belmont now. The next 2 years will be at Saratoga. And they're bringing the Saratoga, the Belmont, down to a mile and a quarter because the track is not configured to where they can run a mile and a quarter on the, you know, the Saratoga track. So they're going to bring it back to a mile and a quarter, and it's going to be really interesting to see how many horses go there when they drop that to a mile and a quarter. I think it's going to be a full field, and I think you're going to see some of the best three-year-olds in the country. Because right now, the horses that are in training want to get, you know, that same win at Saratoga. If you got a horse that can win at Saratoga, you know, that does a lot for the breeding aspect of the horse. You know, it's winner at Saratoga, is second to none. Actually, if they could win the Belmont at Saratoga, that would be better than winning the Belmont at Belmont. because, you know, the breeding, you know, aspects of it. So, you know, that's good. But nevertheless, Belmont's building up better. It's really going to look good. And as a matter of fact, I've got a note in here today that Belmont Stakes at Saratoga already sold out. It's a sold out event. So, you know, and that's still not until the middle of June. It's the 156th renewal of the Test of Champions. A blend of, will blend two horses racing on the most popular track in the country. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, you know, with this. I tell you, I'm all excited here, getting all tongue-tied and everything, like tying a horse up for the races. But, no, it gives the owner and the trainer a lot of options. And like we were talking about earlier in the year, the options that trainers have, you know, to point a horse to get him to peak for the Derby, you know, and then you have to recover after that if you want to go on to the Preakness. And then, you know, 3 weeks after the Preakness, there's the Belmont. So, you know, you got a lot of training things to do. But with the Derby this year and a 20-horse field and as jam-packed as it was, a lot of the horses in there just, you know, it just took a lot out of them. I know it did Fierceness. It took a lot out of him. When he hit the 3/8 pole, he started backing up. He was looking for a place to go park at, you know, and he just couldn't find it. And there were a lot of other horses like that in there, too. And there were some horses that went in, and, you know, they could run in the Preakness, but I highly doubt it. And the reason I doubt that is because they're probably got their eyes on the Belmont at Saratoga. It's a whole different ballgame, a whole different training method that you can go to, because you got the Haskell down at Monmouth Park. Then you have the Travers Stakes four weeks later at Saratoga. You know, you're talking about a lot of money on the line. And it's going to be interesting to see who goes where and what they do. Now, Bob Baffert's been out in California. And he couldn't run in the Derby this year because of his violations that he had and the penalties that he had to pay. So Bob had all this winter to get his horses ready for the Preakness. And I think that's what he's done. I think he's going to come in loaded with a couple of good horses. And it's going to be interesting to see what he does with those horses. Bob's a great trainer. You know, but he just had a few things that were not for him, you know, during the Derby and some legal issues that they had. So, you know, he came along. But I'm telling you, Bob's loaded for the Preakness. Hall of Famer trainer Bob Baffert, who remains barred by Churchill Downs from racing there, notably in the Kentucky Derby, looks poised to run a pair of three-year-olds in a May 18th Preakness Stakes at Pimlico. In addition to Moot, who has confirmed the second leg of the Triple Crown by owner Amir Zandon, said he's going to go to the Preakness, which will really be good, you know, for TV-wise. You know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he does. I always liked that horse. He's really good. I tell you what, if Moot would have been in the Derby, he possibly would have won it, because he's used to the banging and the beating, and you know, he's a tough horse. He's seasoned. You know, it was really, he's really a good horse. And so, you know, we think that the Preakness is going to have this year a full field, and it's going to be a lot of different horses. So that's what's going to make it all interesting. You're going to see the best of the best at the Preakness. You know, you saw a lot of good horses at the Derby, but it's not going to be like the Preakness. The Preakness has weeded out all the weaker horses, and you're going to see the best of the best there. You know, and unfortunately, we're not going to see the Japanese horses, because as soon as the Derby was over, that next Tuesday, they were back on the plane to Japan, and they fared well. They did good. You know, they're just not used to having the tight restrictions of American racing like they do in Japan. you know, with the big fields and all. So that was pretty interesting. But all in all, so far, you know, what we've talked about here just a little bit is the fact that the economic impact that the horse business has, and it affects everybody. You know, I'm telling you, it really does. For example, the Virginia Certified Program that they have, they're demonstrating a significant impact on Virginia economy. They had $86.2 million impact from the horse business in Virginia. You know, and it really makes it good for them. More than 5,000 horses have participated in the Virginia's certified residency program. But what that, when they say that, that's for Florida, for Virginia breds, is what that's for. They had 5,000 horses participating in the pool, and they gave away $86.2 million out. It was a 27-day meet in Virginia. And what I liked about it is it really gives a boost to the Virginia breeding program, to the owners and the trainers and everybody who participates in it. And that's what our business is all about. It's that economic impact. And people don't realize that what we have in the horse business is horsemen, no matter what state you go to, is a huge economic impact. They're the ones that go to Burger King and to, you know, the grocery stores, and they go to the dentists and the doctors and the gas stations and the Walmarts and the movie theaters. They go to all those things. And that's why it's important, you know, for the horse industry to be successful. And every community is touched by them. I don't care where you're at. If you go in to, you know, the internet, in Google horses for your area, I guarantee you, you will find a horse show or some horse-related activity, you know, in your area. And a lot of times they're free, and it's a good thing to get the family out to and get the kids out to and let them see what the horse is all about and what the farm's all about. In fact, when you come here to South Florida, here to Delray Beach, you can come out and see me, call me, and come out and see me. It's 690-8813. Yeah, we got all new things here. But nevertheless, you know, you call me and we'll take you a tour of the farm here, and you can see what the farm looks like. You know, we got over 1,000 horses here, and we got some of the best horses in the country, some of the best show horses, some of the best everything that's here. You know, so that's good to see. And it's all free. I'll take you on a good tour. We'll show you the horses, the alligators, the birds. You can see old Carlos, my guard dog that rides with me in my golf cart from the tack shop that we have here. And he likes riding in that John Deere Gator, that's for sure. And speaking of the John Deere Gator, the XUV 8025M is what I drive, and I suggest all the horsemen out there get one. Show horse people, race horse people, the breeding farms, best gator in the world. It's really good to have there. But no, you know, it's the economic impact that we do. I tell you, like Tampa Bay Downs, for example, the 23-24 season so far, they really did good. Before the Tampa Bay meet, they received $5.5 million allocation from the state of Florida for purses and operations. It was really good. That made up 90% of the overnight purses that they had. I tell you, you know, the money that they're spending over there, they spent $361,483,000. It was a 2.4 increase over 2023. The average daily handle rose to $4,016,481 a day. Now, can you imagine having a business generating $4 million a day? You know, that's just phenomenal. I tell you, that's good for Tampa. They just keep on plugging away every year. It gets better and better. Tampa's a beautiful place to go to. When you go over to Tampa, you're in the Clearwater area. There's a lot of things to do for the tourists. So all the things that you do that are horse-related, you can do with the family. There are all kinds of amusement parks and different things that you can go to. And that's what we're all about, you know, is getting out there. Ellis Park down in Evansville, Indiana, which is right across the river from Kentucky. They're considered to be in Kentucky. Ellis Park unveils a record stakes purse for this year, for 2024. They're going to have a good meet there. They got 18 races beginning July 4th for a 25-day season that they're going to have. The average daily lineup is $400,000. I'm telling you, it's going to be right there. It's going to be good money. Good money for those horsemen there in Kentucky. Like I said, Tampa Bay Downs, their season just went over the top. It went over the top. They had all kinds of things that they had there, the Tampa Bay Derby, the Sam Houston. You know, it was everything and then some. A lot of good Derby prep races that they had there. You know, so that was good. The overnight purses climbed from $155,000 a day to $211,000 a day. The attendance decreased to less than 1%. It was $243,000 in 2023. And, you know, that's a lot of people that went over there. So it's good. Monmouth Park. Caesars break ground in Monmouth Park trackside. They're going to have a whole new thing like Churchill and like Belmont and Gulfstream. And they're having a lot of good things there in Monmouth Park. You know, so that's what we're looking at there. You know, we got just so much here. I'm just rattling on. Don't even know where I'm going. Well, one of them's because I'm nervous. I'm nervous today. We lost almost 1,000 horses back up north, and I got extra time. And then the best part of my life, I hope she's listening today, because she is the best part of my life, and that got me all nervous. No horses here, so it's getting all exciting this time of year in the summer, getting ready for Saratoga, getting ready for Del Mar, getting ready for, you know, Santa Anita, get out there for that. But, you know, one of the things that we're talking about are sponsorships. And like at IEM, which we're going to have the new website, will be up Monday. We got a brand new website. We've got AI is going to help us with the website this year. We're going to see what we're doing. GoDaddy is going to sponsor us. And we're going to see what AI does for the horse industry. And maybe we'll break some ground for, you know, other places, you know, to get the new GoDaddy spot on there. But Monmouth Park, I tell you, it's a great place to go. You're up on the Jersey Shore. There's a lot to do there. Monmouth is just a really great place to go. Good racing all year from May 11th to July 7th. The on-site broadcast team will include Paul LaDuca, Lafitte Penkai III, and many more. I'll be up there to be broadcasting live. It'll be on Naira Betts, and it'll be on Fox Sports. So that's really good. And it's funny because all the TV networks are getting into a battle and who's going to broadcast what. And it seems like that Fox is carrying the load for most of them. And that's really good. And Naira is doing really good, too, you know, with their programming. But, you know, we're going from there. Pimlico, you know, the track's back in action. And they had a lot of problems at Pimlico over the years. It's kind of sad. They let it go for a while, and the track got in bad shape. The neighborhood around Pimlico was not really in good shape, so they had a few bad years there. But now the state of Maryland, the Maryland Jockey Club, and the city of Baltimore are really picking it up to do what they're going to do. They're adding more stakes money to the program there, which is going to get more, you know, the bigger trainers and horses in. And unfortunately, they were the middle part of the Triple Crown. And I experienced the racing there over 18 years. And, you know, the thing of it is when you got through with the Derby, Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning, you'd leave and go to Pimlico. And you'd get out there and get ready, you know, spend 10 days getting ready for the Preakness Stakes. And then after that, you'd leave and you go on up to New York for the Belmont Stakes, which was 3 weeks later. But what they're trying to do now is get more of your big, big national trainers to stable there. And I really foresee a lot of West Coast trainers coming, you know, guys like Bob Baffert and other people come there to stable for the summer. I see a possibility of Wayne Lucas coming, you know, Todd Pletcher coming there if they're offering the right stakes money. And that's what they're getting ready to do. They're getting ready to offer a good racing program there. And so, you know, it's a tough one to go to, but if you want to win the Triple Crown, you got to go through Pimlico. And then if you get through Pimlico, then you try to make it to Belmont. If you make it to Belmont, then you're on sitting on a Triple Crown winner. You know, that's what they do. But, you know, we've talked all year long about the organization of the horse industry. They're creatures of habit. You've got to get them into the right shape, in the right form, to make sure that they, you know what they're doing. In fact, we got a standard bred owner here at the Sunshine Meadows that has a tremendous 2-year-old standard bred. And she's a trotter. And to show you the work they go through, they're at a farm in New Jersey. And so what they're doing, she's getting ready to run soon. And so what they've done is they've shipped her over from New Jersey over to up to the Meadowlands. And it's a nice big mile track, and she'll run there eventually. And then now this weekend they're shipping her from New Jersey over to Yonkers in New York, which is a half-mile track. So they're really schooling this horse. The horse is getting schooled on the van, what it's like to ship into a different place to run, what it's like to train at that place. You know, so the last thing that they'll do with that horse is race her. And so when she goes into that race, every scenario that she might have to go through, she's going to have been through the shipping, the training, new facilities, you know, new everything. So when she goes over there and gets behind the gate, she's going to be ready to go. And they do the same thing, you know, with the thoroughbreds and everything, you know, where they travel them, you know, back and forth. There's just so many things that we're doing here in the business to make it better. The bonuses that are being added, like the Belmont Stakes Festival, when they have it up at Saratoga, you know, they're getting everything ready to go. Owners will be eligible for stakes money awarded to stakes starters. Trainers, you know, whose horses start in the stakes at the festival will receive a $750 bonus. Now, you know, that's nice when they come in and they tell you, you know, okay, you know, Scott, when you enter that horse, we're going to give you $750. There's $1,500 available, you know, that start in the race to trainers and owners. So that makes a big difference, you know, what you do, you know, where you go. You can get a little bit of that extra money. Then they have the best turned out horse for the grooms. A lot of tracks are offering a $500 bonus, you know, plus a meal out to one of the local restaurants that they're doing. So there's just so many things that they're doing to reward, you know, everybody here with what you're doing. But like I said, you know, you're getting to places now like, you know, the Belmont Stakes is already sold out, and that's not until the middle of June. You know, and that's just one of the big stake races. Then you got, you know, up there you have a lot of good races there. You got the Travers Stakes up there. You know, it's every week it's a big race up there on Saturdays. And every day there's a big stakes race, you know, when you go up there. So, you know, that's what the tracks are doing. They're trying to get everybody in there. I tell you, Maryland's probably the best one that I've ever seen right now. As it's going right now, sure, you know, Churchill looks good, but that's after the fact. Belmont's looking good. That's after the fact. You know, Santa Anita, Del Mar, they're all looking good, which always been, has been, you know, for them. They've got it down, and they've got it going. like I said, Churchill, Keeneland, Ellis Park, the standardbred tracks in Kentucky. You know, it's just phenomenal what they're doing there. We send a lot of standardbreds from our farm here up to Kentucky. And the money that they were racing here for at Pompano, which is now closed, you know, they stopped and stopped everything at Pompano. Everybody, horsemen here would say, what are they going to do? Well, now they're up in Kentucky, you know, and the money is probably $2,000 more a race to them racing in Kentucky. They race there, you know, spring until winter. And so that helped our horsemen out. And we thought we were going to lose a lot of horses because when they opened up in Kentucky, but we didn't. They're coming back next winter. They're going to train here and prep here and get ready for, you know, the races in the winter here, which is good for us and it's good for them. And also, you know, we're just sitting there looking at a lot of money. But we got the Preakness coming up, and we got everything coming up. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, where we go with them. 3-day Rolex in Lexington is unbelievable. You know, the crowd that they had, the polo that they have up there, the sales that they have, you know, it's just nothing but equine there in Lexington. And if you go to the Kentucky Horse Park and see all the events that they have, they got good events. They got a nice Halloween and Thanksgiving events up there. They got nice summertime events. It's where you can take the family and get right in and, you know, touch the horses and see the horses. And they got a real good program, got a great gift shop there that you can go in and get just about any, you know, thing you want horse related. And what I like about the horse park there, all the major horse associations, United States Equestrian Federation, FEI, you know, Hunter Jumpers Association, Draft Horses, Quarter Horses, they all have their main office right there in Lexington at the park. And you can go into each one of the buildings and get a brochure or a magazine on, you know, that particular breed, you know, which is really nice. And let me tell you, it's a good way to get a free souvenir for the kids. You go in and get a nice magazine on their association. It's got a lot of pictures and horses in it. And who knows, you know, your kids might take a look at it and become horsemen, you know, after that and go from there. And what's the other thing that, talking about an economic impact, a lot of the universities here in the United States, they offer full ride scholarships to college for equestrian, you know, and that's really good. How many people, you know, can, you know, go to school on a full ride scholarship, getting paid to ride horses, you know, literally getting paid to ride horses and get a degree out of the thing and still and be doing your profession. And, you know, that's all possible. But, you know, like I said, it's all good to go here with what we're doing in the business. Everybody's getting into it. Now that's why I've spent the last 2 years working on the International Equine Network. And I'm getting close to where I'm going to be able to hire some professional announcers, you know, so they can do interviews and do live TV. Because, like I was telling the guys there at the station, I said, the greatest thing about having no listeners or no viewers is the fact I've got no critics. So that really, you know, that makes me happy. When I get through with my show, whether it's good or bad, I feel good about myself, you know? And so it really is good. But, we're trying to get the point out there that it's about equine information distribution. And that's what every business is about. It's about distribution of your product, whether it's selling hamburgers or whether it's selling newspapers. It's about distribution, and it's about your audience that you go to. And that's what I like about BBS radio and TV. Their range of potential clients is phenomenal. It's both domestic and international. You get out to everywhere. You know, iTunes and, you know, all of your podcast things. And that's what it's about. It's the potential for distribution. And that's why I like with John Deere and myself. John Deere likes what I do because we go to all horses, whether it's a thoroughbred, a standardbred, quarter horses, you know, standard breds. We go to all horses, and everybody in that economic range, most of them can afford a weed eater, you know, John Deere products, up to the big tractors for the farm. And that's the unique thing about what we do, and anybody that advertises with us. We go to all economic levels, we go to all breeds, and we go all over the world. And when you have a group like that, then you can start focusing in on, you know, targeting on people that you want to sell, you know, that type of thing. So that's what it's all about, is the distribution of equine information. And that includes print, radio, and TV. So we're now to a point to where we can do it. You know, the guys at BBS put up with me for the last couple of years, and their format that they have, they're always changing. And you ought to go to their website. They talk about any and everything on there. You know, they got shows for any and everything, 24/7. You know, and if you got a company, the economic value of what you get for your money from them is tremendous. You can go out and you can build anything. And go, they got a lot of new religious programs that are on there now, which is good, you know. But it all ties in with everything, you know. See, the horse industry affects everybody, and that's what we're trying to do here, you know. And I wish we could get some call in someday. At least call in, tell me how lousy I am. Sometimes, you know, hearing that bad talk is good, but. You know, we got the Preakness coming up. Like I said, Rolex in Lexington was good. We got a lot of different Rolex events that are coming up. And when I say Rolex, it's about the cross country, dressage, and stadium jumping. And that's really nice to go to, especially in Lexington, because all three facilities are there at Lexington. You can walk across the horse park. And you can see the permanent jumps that they have there for the 3-day eventing, which is really good. They got a beautiful hunter jumper stadium there and a fantastic dressage facility. And you see people from all over the world. And I'll give you a good example. Lionel Richie's daughter, she's showing now. Bruce Springsteen's daughter, Jessica, she is one of the best horse people in the world. She's traveling all over the world. And, you know, seeing her, and it's really good, you know, to get out and see these things. Kids really love that. We got a real good summer program here. We have a lot of summer camps at Sunshine Meadows and Delray Beach Equestrian. And the trainers put on a real good, you know, summer camp. They're usually a week long. And it involves horse riding and grooming and feeding the horses and learning about the horses. And then they have a lot of crafts and arts that they do, where they draw horses and you know, make different things, you know, about the horse business. A lot of the trainers, they get these jump houses and bouncy houses that they have out there. And then they also do a horse show. And it's really, really neat to do a horse show, you know, for these young kids that probably haven't, you know, shown before. And one of the little girls came up to me the other day, and I always ask her how she's doing with her pony. And she said, pretty good, pretty good. And she was in a show, and she got, never been in a show before. She got a blue ribbon and a yellow ribbon. And so I was so excited for her. I was probably more excited for her than she was. And so her mom tells me, don't ask her about the ribbons. Whatever you do, don't say nothing about the ribbons. And I said, well, how'd she do? She got a blue ribbon, which is first, and a yellow ribbon, which is fourth. And I said, well, wasn't she happy? She says, no, she wanted to give the blue ribbon back and get another yellow ribbon because yellow was her favorite color. And so, you know, here she did good in the horse show and everything, but she was sad because somebody gave her a blue ribbon and a yellow ribbon. So, you know, those are the kind of stories that you think and make memories with, you know, kids out there and everything. And like Victoria Jackson, I just love her to death. She's been here a long time with us. She's been training over 30 years, and she's got a horse called Peanut. It's 20 or 32 years old, Peanut is. He's been showing at Wellington for the last 29 years in a row, going up there. He's done any and everything that you could do at Wellington. And Wellington is a top-notch show facility in this country that people just love to go to. And so this morning we were talking to one of the girls. Her daughter was starting to ride, and her daughter's 6 years old. And Victoria started laughing. She says, you know, she said her mom was the first one to ride Peanut. And so now the daughter is riding Peanut. So, you know, you don't see things like that in too many businesses. But, you know, you do in the horse business, you see that quite a bit, which was really good, you know, to see. So, but the Derby, I tell you, boy, oh, boy, did I feel flat on the Derby. We had Fierceness that was went off as the favorite. He was ready to go. He worked the best that he's ever worked, trained the best that he's ever trained, won the Florida Derby easy. That's why he was the favorite for the Kentucky Derby this year. Did everything right. Went to the gate right, broke out of the gate right, but he was inundated by the charge, the cavalry charge of all those horses. And coming down the stretch, he was out in the middle of the stretch, and he just wanted no part of it at the 3/8 pole, threw his head up in there and said, I'm done. Said, you know, get me out of here. And a few others of the horses did that in there too. But Mystic Dan, he was focused. He was right down on it. The jockey was focused. I think it surprised the trainer more than anything. And the trainer won the Oaks and the Derby this year, and that's the only fifth time that's ever happened in 150 years. You know, so we saw history being made. You know, there that was really good, you know, to see that happen. But, you know, again, like I said, it was a horse race. Anything could happen. Anything. And I couldn't believe, you know, what happened with Mystic Dan. He edged Sierra Leone out. And, I mean, it was right to the wire. And there was a lot of pushing and grabbing coming down the stretch, too. And a lot of people got upset because they, you know, they didn't, you know, bring any of these horses down. But, you know, I just keep on going, looking at it, see what, you know, what the business is doing. I really judge a lot of things in our business by the economics thing of it. I really like to get into the economics of businesses and see what they do. It comes from my business math that I took all through school. Didn't take algebra or geometry because when I went into my algebra class, teacher told me, he says, I'm going to tell you a word that everybody knows. It says pi r square. And I raised my hand. And I said, he said, yes, sir. And I said, pi r round where I come from, cakes are square. So they sent me to business math. And so, you know, I really got into the business math and realized that, you know, working on the farm and dealing with the farm and horses, you know, business math was right up my alley. And so that's helped me a lot, you know, as far as being a horseman is concerned, because you learn how to plan out your feed, you know, your feed projections and, you know, and hay and you know, your tack shop of stuff that you have to get for the horses, your employees, you know, transportation, everything, you know, business math taught me. And I really, you know, appreciated that, you know, what they do. Betting on this year's 20-horse Derby race totaled $210 million. It was up 11%, with last year's previous being $188 million. Derby week handle, I'll get this, folks. The 7 days of Derby, 7 days of Derby, $446 million. It was up 8%. Can you imagine $440? You know, you're looking. You know, you're looking at $10 million a day going through those windows over there, you know. And I was just really, really surprised that that happened. The Derby Day crowd was 156,710, up 4%. You know, I'm telling you, it's crazy. When you build it, they go to it. That's for sure. They go to it. And, you know, if you build something and you give a good product, you got 156,000 people, you know, at one event. You know, that's just crazy. But you know, Pemco, they're going to come close to 100,000 Saturday. Saratoga's already sold out, you know, for the Belmont Stakes up there. And it's an economic impact that we all benefit from and that we all enjoy. You know, it goes down to the farms that are growing the hay and the feed, you know, for the horses, employing the grooms and the hot walkers. You know, it goes through all that stuff. But the whole point that I'm trying to make today is the fact that you need to get out and do something equestrian. That's what you need to do. You need to get out, Google in your area, horses, and then go see an event. And 90% of this stuff is free. When you go out, you can go watch your local, you know, horse shows, and then you can go to the bigger horse shows, and you can see all the things that they have and they do. What I like about the local horse shows is a lot of them, they have booths and vendors there, and they're selling local products like, you know, honey and vegetables and apples and oranges. You know, they do all that stuff, you know, for it. So, you know, that's what I like. I like to do stuff like that. We didn't get real technical this week, you know, on what we're doing because I'm trying to play catch up here. Got a lot of things going on day and night. But like I said, you know, you're more than welcome to come out here to Delray Beach, to Sunshine Meadows. Just Google Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village and, you know, or Palm Beach Downs Training Center or Delray Equestrian Center. You can get a hold of me there. Brandon Mills is our manager. Greatest guy in the world, I'm telling you. Greatest guy in the world. He keeps all these tracks and all these show rings and all this farm really going. TV is our maintenance manager. He does a great job with everything. Trish and Bennett up in the office are really good with everybody. And, you know, when you got over 1,000 horses here, you got all kinds of problems. And that's what I do. I'm the problem solver here. I'm the one to keep the crazy people away from the owners and Brandon and send them right up to the office. Because they're the toughest people we got on this farm, the girls in the office are. But, no, that's what we do here. You're more than welcome to come out and visit. You can come out and see the famous peanut, Victoria Jackson's at Bar Lane Farm. You know, you can go over to Palm Beach Downs where you see some of the best thoroughbreds in the world training. Fierceness was there all year. That's where he trained. We've had a total of 4 Kentucky Derby winners out of there, you know, in the last few years. So, you know, we do good there. We got several national champion show horses here. We've got trainers here that have trained Hamiltonian and Little Brown Jug winners. So I've labeled our facility. It's the home of present, past, and future champions here. And I guarantee you when you're out here, I'll take you up and I'll introduce you and you can pet one of these horses that's either a past, present, or future champion. And it doesn't cost you anything to come out here and visit with us, you know, because we hope that you'll like it enough that you'll get into the horse business and you'll be one of our clients someday. That's what we're looking for. But, you know, I'm just going through the Derby results here. And I tell you, it was a nightmare. The Derby was a nightmare this year from the get-go. When they sprung that gate open, it was a nightmare from the get-go because usually you have people that are horses that take charge and get up there. This year, they didn't. They had a lot of horses that just were there. They stayed straight and narrow. And I tell you, I was surprised at some of them. Some of them did better than what I thought. Some of them, you know, didn't do as good as I thought they would do. You know, it's kind of hard to say about this race. With the Derby on Saturday, I didn't really realize, you know, how they were riding the race. And I've been watching a lot of races. But this Derby is the one that just confused me the most. in Burrell-like fashion Saturday's Kentucky Derby. He angled Mystic Dan to the rail soon after the start. So when Mystic Dan came out, he's going to play the rail. Now, the rail is usually not the place you want to be because it can kind of get deep over there. But with all the rain and everything, that was probably the smoothest route you had to get to the finish line. So that was interesting to see that. Track Phantom shot to the lead, and Long Shot Just Steal favored fierceness in a hot pursuit. So what they did is they hooked up with horses and they just gave it its all for as long as they could. The fractions were 22-9, 46-6, and 111-3. And that's pretty doggone quick for a mile and a quarter, because horses start drifting in and out, and you don't know where they're going. They get tired. And in the 1982 Kentucky Derby, we had Albaba in the race, and he went out and got a good, easily, you know, comfortable, slowly, and then all of a sudden the group caught up, and when they started backing up, you know, you got nowhere to go, and it cuts off every avenue you got to the finish line. And then you could be like when we had Secret Lady, when she came in, she did real good at Churchill by taking the lead. We had a lot of good horses there, you know, that ran good. But Secret Lady, the races that she ran at Churchill, she did good on the lead because she had a lot of speed and nobody could, you know, catch up with her and everything. The one in Colors probably was the best Derby winner that I've ever seen. Mr. Lucas told the jockey to go out to the lead. And he said, when you break, go out as fast as you can, go as far as you can for as long as you can. And that's what she did. And they were catching her at the wire, but she held on to win the Derby. So, you know, there's so many things, scenarios that can happen. You know, I tell you, the race was good. The jockey had ridden them good. You know, it's the greatest 2 minutes in sports. And you'll never see a sport like the Kentucky Derby that has so much action going on in that 2 minutes. You know, it's just everywhere. You don't know where to look. You know, the results, there was a lot of pushing and shoving and grabbing a hold of right at the wire. A lot of people didn't like that. If it would have been tighter in there, I think they would have said something, but they let it go, you know, and that's what really got a lot of people all upset. Mystic Dan, he might be going on to the Peak Preakness, and that's where he'll meet Moot, Bob Baffert's horse. You know, Moot had beaten Mystic Dan in the Arkansas Derby. So we're going to see what goes with that. So there's a little bit of a story there. And then, like I said, you know, we're getting ready for the Belmont Stakes, which will be June 8th up at Saratoga. And you'll see Moot and you'll see Mystic Dan. And, you know, you might see a Fierceness in there. You might see Honor Marie in there, West Saratoga. There, you know, Trust to Touch, you might see, was good. I tell you, it's going to be an interesting next 4 or 5 weeks when we get out here and see what all is going on with these guys. But, you know, I tell you, it's all about the business. You know, get out there and see some horses. I just get out there and Google horses in your area. And then next week, call me and tell me what you got. You know, what you found out about your area. Go out and support the horse community, which supports the community that you live in. And that's what we'd like to see happen. You know, get more people into it. You don't have to gamble on the horse. You don't have to buy a horse. But you can go out and do that. Like at the Kentucky Horse Park, the Florida Horse Park, the little gift shops that you have there, they got great coloring books. They got great horse items in there. They make good birthday and Christmas gifts. They're really good. And like I said, if you want to get a good tour, come here to Delray Beach and see us. We're close to the ocean. Now, my house sits about say, about a half a mile out of the Everglades. I live out on the west side of the farm, and it's a nice place out here. You know, come out and visit with us. When you're in Kentucky, go to the Kentucky Horse Park. Saugerties in New York is getting ready to have a great show horse season. Saratoga is going to be opening up there. Michigan, show season is getting ready to open up in Michigan, which is good. And then Thermal, California, they're always doing something, you know, out there. So that's really good. Colorado's got some good horse shows. You know, just come out and visit with us and see what happens. But I've rambled on, confused you enough. And boy, oh boy, see what I'm secretly doing is I'm doing these shows every week. And then when we get a real professional announcer in here, boy, oh boy, man, will you guys be surprised and happy then and everything. Besides, I don't even have a face for radio. And that's sad. You know, that's sad. But guys, enjoy the horse business. Go find a horse somewhere, you know, and see what's going on. You know, and then tune in with us next week to BBSRadioTV.com. And today, check out BBS Radio and you see what's on there on the agenda. Guys do a good job there. So until next Friday, we'll be talking to you.